I've always enjoyed the metaphor of light to describe the people of God. Folks who have been around Transfiguration for really any length of time whatsoever will have noticed, no doubt, my great love of fire light, as I never pass up a chance to burn something around here if I can associate it even loosely with a Christian holy day. I love watching that light shine in the darkness and seeing in that symbol the light that the darkness cannot and will not ever be able to overcome. And so when Jesus says to us, "You are the light of the world," I love it. I feel empowered. I feel inspired. I feel energized. Maybe you do too. But you see, before he ever called us the light of the world, Jesus called us something else first. Salt. You are the salt of the earth. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. This is not a metaphor that has really ever swelled my heart. It's sort of ho-hum. It's sort of mundane. I suppose when I have thought about it much at all, I have assumed that he was talking about our need to sort of act like seasoning in the world. We are the ones who are called to bring out the flavors in others. Or maybe he's describing the way that we are meant to be of exquisite value. Because you see, in the time of the Romans, in Jesus' day and age, salt was so valuable, it was worth its weight in gold. It was actually traded as currency. So maybe we are just of exquisite value. All of that's well and good. But it really wasn't until this past week that I can say that I really got this metaphor, this comparison, that it sparked my imagination. Because it wasn't until, well, you know, the last few days as I gazed out my front window at the frozen and desolate tundra outside my door, unable to take even a few modest steps outside my door because of the skating rink that awaited me there, that I remembered another use for salt: melting ice. Science tells us that salt lowers the freezing point of water, which is why places that are actually equipped for wintry weather, i.e. not Texas, keep mountains of the stuff ready and available and on hand. The single inch of wintry precipitation that we received last week that completely and totally shut down our state would have been dealt with quickly by some truckloads of sand and salt, because ice treated with salt melts. Now, I'm not sure that Jesus ever treated any frozen walkways with salt, but this past week I couldn't help but smile at the brilliance of his metaphor as I gazed out at my icy and frozen walkways. "You are the salt of the earth," he says. "You are the ones capable of melting the frozen places of the world. You are the ingredient needed to transform countless icy and treacherous paths and places. You are the stuff God will use to melt frozen hearts and frozen situations and frozen relationships. You are God's salt." You are almost certain to be familiar with Disney's Frozen movies. They were on a steady loop in my house for a number of years. I am thankful we have passed that stage. And yet I am confident that if Joel, who I know doesn't know Frozen, but somehow could begin to play it, I could sing every word of the first movie to you even now. But in case you have somehow missed it, let me give you a quick summary, at least of the first one. It's about two princesses, Elsa, who has the magical ability to shoot snow and ice from her fingertips, and Anna, her courageous but unmagical younger sister. In a dramatic scene, Elsa accidentally blasts Anna in the heart, which then begins to freeze. When they go for help, assuming that there has to be some sort of magical cure for this magical malady, we learn that there actually is no such thing as a magical cure for what ails her. Only love, we learn, can melt a frozen heart. Well, let me just say, it may be a cartoon movie about singing princesses with magical powers, but that statement is gospel truth. Jesus could have said the very same thing, and in a way he did, when he called us the salt of the earth. He invited us to look around at a world that is filled with frozen hearts and frozen situations and frozen relationships and realize that we are just the loving salt needed to melt them. Now, by frozen hearts and frozen situations, I'm thinking of the people and the places that are not going to solve themselves. I'm thinking of the lives that are stuck in place, stuck in sadness and dysfunction and pain. I'm thinking of situations that defy easy answers or solutions, and so they have mostly just been accepted as they are, or abandoned, or forgotten entirely. These are the sort of people and situations that will go on exactly as they are unless someone comes along with the patience and the love to spread on them a little bit of salt. I remember a time when I was the rector of my previous church in Rhode Island, and I learned of a lady who was living in her car not far from the church, just around the block. And she would come to our food pantry, and so over a little bit of time, we got to know her and we learned her story. We came to learn where she was living at the time. She was, and I use this word carefully, complicated. And her situation was complicated. So much so that she was stuck, frozen, solid in her life, and unable to move beyond her car. So a group of us got together and we began to look for ways that we could sprinkle just a little bit of salt in her life. We got together and helped her find a proper place to stay. And then we found her some counseling. And along the way, we just welcomed her into our life as a community, and we treated her like a friend, the friend she needed, the friend we were seeking. We treated her like a human being. And slowly, slowly, we melted some of those frozen places in her life enough so that she could get moving again. Whenever our men's fellowship goes down to Genesis Women's Shelter to make dinner for the women and kids who live there, they're sprinkling a little bit of salt. Whenever our food pantry hands out a week's worth of groceries to over 38 different families, over 100 different individuals represented in those families, and along the way gets to know them and learns their stories and finds out what's going on in their lives, we are spreading a little bit of salt around. Every month in the office, when our Peace Post gathers to write leaders to encourage a more just and peaceful world, inside of every envelope, there's a little bit of salt sprinkled inside. Every summer, when a big group from Transfiguration marches in the Pride Parade bearing a banner that says, "God thinks you're fabulous," we are throwing salt into the crowds all around us. Being salt can be big. It can also be small, too. Sometimes we toss a little salt around with a thoughtful compliment, a note of gratitude, a genuine apology. Sometimes we toss a little salt around when we ask a friend who we know is struggling to have coffee with us, or we call someone we've been worried about so that rather than just feeling worried about them, we can actually engage with them. Sometimes we melt frozen hearts with small acts of love, patiently and persistently offered. So think about your family and friends. Think about your coworkers or your classmates. Think about the people who come and go in and out of your life all the time. Where and how could you season their lives with a little bit of salt? Where and how could you melt a frozen heart with your love? Because it is cold out there in the world. Ice covers so many hearts, so many situations. There is so much out there that is frozen and in need of melting. And you are salt. Now, Jesus didn't say you will act like salt when you fill in the blank. Jesus didn't say you will become salt when you start doing XYZ. He said you are the salt of the world. He declared it. It is true. It is a result of being a friend and follower of Jesus. We are God's salt. We are just the ingredient that our frozen-hearted world needs to begin thawing. But here's the thing. Before we go around tossing salt around into other people's lives, we may first need to consider whether it is our own heart that needs unfreezing first. Before we can ever unfreeze others, we may first need to sprinkle a little salt within ourselves, because it is impossible to love others and show love to others when your own heart is frozen solid. And that's actually one of my favorite aspects of the first Frozen movie. At the end of the movie, the climax of the movie, it is not the romance of a prince. It is not the heroism of some sort of magical character who saves Anna. It is her own act of selfless love that has the power to melt her frozen heart. The one she ultimately rescues with her love is actually herself. Because sometimes when we go around spreading love to others, the one who's actually healed, the one whose life is actually changed, the one whose heart is actually melted, is our own. Thankfully, when we leave here this morning, the sidewalks will be dry and clear. The bridges will be thawed. The roads will be free of ice. I hear it's going to be 65 degrees this afternoon. Welcome to Texas. The sunshine sure is wonderful, though, isn't it? But don't let it fool you, friends, because there are still plenty of frozen hearts out there. Hearts and situations and relationships. But unlike this past week, we don't need to be afraid to venture out from our homes, because we are just the thing to help them start melting. Amen.